to Luba Maikisa joining us on the line. I need his view on this. Luba, very, very good morning. Where do you stand on the Greta debate?
Firstly, Howard, I live in Cape Town, and it's chilled in Cape Town. I don't have DSTV. You know, I use Netflix. I wasn't even aware of Greta until yesterday. Sorry if that helps. I wasn't even aware of this child. But, you know, Lindy sent it to me. I had a look at it, and I said, I'm not sure who irritated me more, the audience, Trevor, or this kid. And I think they all come equal. First. Yeah, they come equal first. I don't know. I think it's a brilliant marketing tool, because what she says is essentially just regurgitate what we've heard before about global warming and climate change. But because it's coming from this Nordic kid, you know, who looks very innocent, like something out of, an 1800 kind of fairy tale book, people are kind of awestruck by it. But essentially, I mean, there isn't much new she's telling us about global warming. But to me, I struggle because, you know, I haven't followed the story. How did she get to the show from where she lives?
By boat.
I think she went by boat.
Yeah, yes. For 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks.
By boat.
Yeah.
So the boat doesn't contribute to climate change at all. What does it use?
Look, we don't know that. We're not.
No, what I'm saying is the argument becomes interesting because it's almost like people who say, don't drive your car, Howard, buy this electric car, which has less emissions. It does, but then you live in a country where we're burning fossil fuel to make electricity. So, I get lost in the arguments. I understand the need for climate change, but somehow these advocates, I think, for me are a bit loony. So I'm not a fan of Greta, I'm afraid.
So what we're talking about really, and what we're really focusing on, is the aspect of her being a child, and whether this is some form of abuse by her parents or by her whoever has encouraged it, and what is our responsibility therefore within this debate, and that's what I would like to sort of crystallize.
Okay, look, we've had part of this discussion before. I've said if I look at my kids, they're more militant than I was. Well, look, we were toying for something else. They're happy to champion what sometimes look like obscure causes, which are not.
And I think it's always a danger.
It's
always a danger that, you know, even as you're saying it, I was going to say, yeah, for a real cause. And then I thought, you know, it's actually unfair to say that because just, you know, obviously, objectively, the fight against apartheid was a huge and massively significant and important cause. But actually, each generation finds their own causes. And the fact that we don't relate to it in the same way doesn't actually mean anything to them.
That's what I'm saying, Howard. So that's why I'm saying if I look at my kids, if I look at my recently turned 15-year-old, she would resemble, you know, this kid in terms of her passion, because she's an ardent feminist. I get to hear about the straws in the ocean. I get to hear about the polar bears and everything else. So I think the younger generation are far more willing. In her case, yes, I think there is obviously somebody who's pushing issues. But I see the same passion. I mean, if you look at my culture, being a vegan in the African culture is almost non-existent, but I've had a kid who, you know, from time to time goes vegan, and her grandparents scratched their head trying to figure out what's happening. But this is a generation that's willing to fight for causes that they believe in, in a very aggressive manner. And I think that the challenge for me is that it's their way or no way, which is why, you know, if my mom loses a job, tough. And this is what I see even with my 14, 15-year-old, is that when they latch onto a cause and they believe that their set of facts and the way they're doing it is the only way, and they take no prisoners. Whereas I think in the past, people have been a little bit more conciliatory in how they engage in these issues. And certainly, I think this can't just be her alone, just on this crusade. There's got to be somebody who's certainly encouraging.
Jonathan says, hi Howard, she's supposed to go for the movement. The bottom line is that she's young and articulate, and in such, she may just have a singular impact on the world governments. Look, there's no question. Here we are in Johannesburg, in South Africa, talking about this young Swedish girl who has brought the issue of climate change and her concerns around it to global attention. Mm-hmm. So she actually has done her job.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for a limited time.
Yes, I hear that.
But I think it's also just indicative of where we are in the, you know, in time and place. I mean, if you think about it, like traditional media has almost been displaced, because you think about this young girl who started off by posting a picture of herself on Instagram protesting outside. Is it Sweden or Denmark, Howard?
Sweden.
Sweden, outside the Swedish parliament. And, you know, just using Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, she has gone a huge, huge support and exposure. So I do think for me, you know, it's also a, just a reflection of where we are and how powerful, social media is.
That is true. It's taken on a completely different, it's channeled through a completely different medium today.
Absolutely. And so we have,
But which governments would it force? You see, the thing for me is, I think in some ways it's effective. It'll get the polluters to change, because this will gain traction, I would guess, in probably Europe, North America, and parts of Asia. But I would think probably in the South it wouldn't gain much traction.
Yeah.
If you take, say, let's say Latin America, Africa, and parts of Asia.
It is interesting to note how long this lasts.
And I think for me, it's actually, I find it fascinating how people have given her so much power. You know, I don't think we would be talking about this so much if, you know, we hadn't attacked her so personally and kind of just stuck to the facts. You know, okay, well, she's not saying anything different. She is a young lady who is very.
Do you think so, David? Do you think that you know, if I think about my reaction to it, it's not to attack her personally, but it is to be very concerned around it. And I think what it does, and that's kind of my problem as you were talking, is it actually stacks the, you know, because we live in this left dominated structured world where there's a hierarchy of wokeness, maybe. Yes. So here's a young person. So she's underage. She's a girl. She suffers from Asperger's. So there's some form of
vulnerability
there. So actually that places her in a position where we precluded from really debating this robustly. And it, in fact, because of what of who she is and all of these things that are being placed in front of us, we are not really allowed to engage it so greatly, because it's also very, very difficult to have, because what you're saying to us is have a rational discussion around it.
Yeah.
Well, it's very hard to have a rational discussion with my 14-year-old girl who's throwing a tantrum.
Well,
and this is what she's doing. So what is the reciprocal expectation from us? She is tantruming. Well, and now not only is she tantruming, but you're saying she's tantruming. She's not 100% okay, so please be careful. She's very vulnerable, and she's a young girl, and. So what are we meant to do?
I think that's the point, is I think if the right, for want of a better word, had come out and said, okay, this is a young girl who's very brave, she's speaking her mind, she's got a lot of followers, you know, and she is vulnerable because, you know, she has got certain challenges, and we understand that, so that might bring out certain ways of communicating which are not the best for, you know, again, and that's a, you know, we're underestimating that. But again, saying, okay, let's put that aside and let's look at the facts. And I think for me, I think she would have gained so much less traction than, because you play right into the hands of, if we're looking at the left, where they're going.
I mean, you might be right. I'm just not sure how best to deal with it. You know, when one of my other kids was young, he used to have a lot of real temper stuff, and he would say really harsh things. And one of the advice, the counsel I would always give my wife, because he would say things that really were designed to strike deep, and he was that smart that he could do that. I would say to her, just look at him and hear gobbledygook, blah, 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 I need attention. Stop hearing the words. Just see that he's tantruming.
Well, I think for me, that you're spot on. When it comes down to parenting, and I stand by it, if they had to deal with this in the same way as a parent would deal with a child who's tantruming, what do you do with a child that's tantruming? I always believe the best advice, my opinion, is to give that, to think of an actor on a stage. You're going to scream at them, you're going to clap, you're going to boo. There's more chance they're going to stay on the stage. But if you walk out of the auditorium, if you walk away, with disdain, with disappointment, with upset, then you're going to have that's a very strong message to the child that, you know, this actually doesn't deserve a lot of attention. This actually,
David, I read, you know, curiously, I remember reading a book that said if your kid throws a tantrum, you should throw one as well, and, and then they'll quickly stop. You know, so if they, you know, throw themselves on the floor and throw a tantrum, you do the same. The kid will look at you startled and think, okay, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's tongue in cheek, but I think it's very difficult because you're almost pointing to a measured response, but the world unfortunately doesn't, you know, respond in that predictable manner. And I think the world seldom takes somebody's circumstances into account. If you look at the response that you're saying was harsh, because people just respond and especially the good old president of the US, and people think later. And I think it's very difficult to get, you know, a collective to pause and say, how should we handle this? What's the best way? And I think people just fire,
absolutely,
you know, from the hip and then respond later. And unfortunately, in this case, it does give it airtime. But I think for me, the curiosity is that kids are willing to, you know, to take on these issues, and at a very young age. And that's why I think when we spoke about corporal punishment last time, the people who are championing change today are far younger than, you know, let's say we saw 30 years ago. And I think that for me is the interesting part, whether misguided or not, but they're willing to champion those things, because most of us didn't, you know, really get into championing anything until we were seriously in our teens.
Absolutely right. So unfortunately there we do have to leave it.